such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Hi, Tony, Christina, flying
hey,
in
Father.
At the last moment, as always.
Yes.
Not as always, but you know, it makes me
most
nervous,
of the time.
You know, so I just came from a funeral.
Mm.
And I was, and these were people we've known for a long time. I've known them, well, for all the 28 years that I'm here.
Wow.
And sad, yes, of course, you know. Why am I hesitating? Because maybe I'm weird, you know. Maybe I'm a little bit strange, but.
Well, then you're in good company.
Okay, there we go, yeah. But I was thinking about, you know, you get the people in their grief, they're kind of hit with they're up against a brick wall in some case, and especially when there's no preparation, but even when there's a preparation for someone's passing from here to there. I always have to say that, passing from here to there, because mm-hmm. We're going somewhere, right? Death is not the end. And thank God we have faith, you know. But that it's like we kind of intuitively know that, but that some people don't know it
mm-hmm.
because perhaps they're caught up in the ways of the world, or they're not nurturing a relationship with God, or really, you know, asking or trying to decipher the mystery, the meaning, the purpose of life. I live doing that, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe. People don't. I don't know. I can't. It doesn't compute in my head that people can go through life and not think daily about God, about life, the mystery of it all, suffering, sadness, joy, light, darkness, life, death. You know, it's, you know what I'm saying? I may be all over the place today, you know, as I tend to be, but I'm just coming off the funeral, and I'm coming off tired. As I say, when I die, they're going to put on my tombstone, he was always tired. I made a stupid mistake yesterday at the meeting we had. I said, you know, I'm burned out, you know, and I thought, I never want to ever say that, because I remember a priest who said, all these priests are burned out, but they were never on fire in the first place, you know. So I never say that, but last night, because I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. I spent 2 hours at a dental office as well, you know, torture mm-hmm. chamber. Good dentist, but, you know, it wasn't that bad, but it's not pleasant. So, but I was doing, but in between, there was no stop, so mm-hmm. I had, you know, I was... From morning till night, I was going nonstop, literally, and today it's been the same thing. And so as I was leaving leading the procession at the end of the Mass, you know, I'm leading the coffin and the family and friends. It was a big funeral. People who are grieving, even if it was a small funeral, I never distinguished between a big or a small.
Right. Funeral,
you know,
is a funeral.
Exactly, and so you speak, right? So one time you know, you got to speak. I mean, we always want to speak to the hearts of the people, but it's like you've got a people that are disposed, it seems to me. But as I was leading, going out the church, I'm thinking to myself how we try to get through the day I just want to get to the end of the day when I know that I can have a little bit of rest, right? Because, and even as I'm looking at this day, I'm thinking I've got all these things yet to do, and I've just begun, and I've just had a funeral. And I thought, I almost envied. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this, but I felt a certain joy and almost a bit of an envy for this woman who's at rest, right. At rest. Now, people in the world and of the world wouldn't understand that at all, perhaps. But, and I don't mean that in a bad way, mm-hmm. at all. But so as thinking, you know, as I was leaving, I said, okay, don't stop, because if I stop, I got to get ready for the radio, and I've got 20 minutes, right? 20 minutes to get ready for the radio. And already depleted, because funerals do. They wipe you out. You're depleted of energy, because you kind of take in the stuff that the people are going through. Some of us can't do that. We can't do with that. I mean, I don't have skin, you know. I mean, no. What is that, what they say? You don't have
a thick skin.
Mm-hmm. In some ways I do, perhaps. In other ways I don't. In other words, I call it a weakness or call it a strength. I don't know. But when I go into a place, I intuitively feel what people feel. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so you're being drained as you're carrying this stuff, you know, the grief and the sadness, and you're trying to bring them to a place of peace and even a place of joy in the midst of sadness. And this is the interesting mystery of our faith, is that I think, you know, I don't think, I know that we can do it. You know, because how do people get, even the family, when they came yesterday, some of the daughters, she had four daughters, her name was Juana. Well, actually, her name was Juana Alegría, which is happiness, right? How would you translate that? Joy, happiness, alegría? Oh, you're not on.
No.
What's the problem here?
I don't know.
Hey, Nick, is Christina coming through?
Test one.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, it means joy. You know, I know what it means. So. No, talking to him.
That's okay.
Into
no, I'm okay.
You're important. You need to speak.
That's okay.
It may be going that through. I just don't hear. Yeah. But joy, mm-hmm. Happiness, joy. I don't know if she's coming through or not, Nick.
I can't hear myself, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Maybe it's a good thing.
But I want to hear you, you know, and our people want to hear you, you know?
Right.
So anyway, the point is that she went to Mexico, mm-hmm. and for vacation to her family, all her family's in Mexico. Mm-hmm. She went to vacation and she died in Mexico. Wow. Her daughters, she got four daughters.
I could hear myself now.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you. He's a miracle worker.
Superman. Thank you.
He's Superman. Exactly. So where were we? Alegría, joy means
joy.
Happiness. Happiness.
Sure.
So she went to Mexico to visit her family, and she died suddenly down there. There was no preparation. She wasn't sick or anything. It just happened. And I understand why now. It took me a while to, you know, okay, it's just kind of a no-brainer, but it was a very unique coffin.
Oh, was it?
It was very beautiful. It was actually had a kind of the shape of a cross. It was very small, but it was, and then I thought, I've never seen a coffin like that. And then it occurred to me, I realized it was from Mexico, because she died down there. They had a mass down there with her family, because her family couldn't come here. So they sent her body in the coffin here. So that's why it was very unique.
Oh, yes, they're different.
They're very different.
They even have they don't do the open casket.
Sometimes they have like a window.
That's how they do it. Yes.
Yeah, this didn't, or it may have had. Well, you know, maybe it did. I could see there was a cross, I believe, on the top. Mm-hmm. It was kind of in the shape of a cross, interestingly, you know. The point is, the family came in, a couple of the daughters, very nice. I've known them since they were, you know, children, mm-hmm. which is just amazing, you know, when you see all these people and you realize, you know, we're all moving down the same path, you know, and... Mm-hmm. we're together in joys and sorrows and all that. This is one of the unique things about, or one of the hidden blessings about being in a place so long, is that you really walk with the people through a lot in life. And so they came with their sadness yesterday, but at the same time they said, you know, we have a peace knowing that she was able to basically say goodbye to her family. She was down there and was able to see her family, at least. Not that she was able to literally say goodbye, but she was with her family. And so they were able to participate in the death, in that sense, and celebrate the funeral mass down there, and then they bring her body here. And so her husband was down there with her as well. But anyway, I forgive me if I'm, all over the place. But
no, it, you know, if I was not to interrupt you, but I've been trying to be quiet for most of this time.
I'm sorry, I should.
No. Yeah. It was important to let you talk, only because I was kind of echoing a lot of the things I was thinking. But you have a unique perspective because you've seen this so many times. And I know through families, hopefully, you know, people don't go through this all the time. So that's why I love to hear this. Especially, and again, I'm adding, even like when you go on retreat or something, you usually come back with, you know, real insights. And I think that's from just being alone, being in silence, and doing that. So I love listening to it. But, you know, I think of the same thing as what you said, oh, I'm weird. No, it's not, because I feel the same way. A lot of times when things like this happen, especially when it's sudden, and you kind of think about people, how they, you have to react, and you kind of want to know where people are at. So you're right. I think we should really always be thinking about where we're going. But then I question, do most people do that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Most people don't.
They don't.
They don't. They only think
of this world.
That's
why it catches them off guard.
Right.
Yeah.
Only of this, they don't think of, so many times you mention of eternity. They just think life in this world, but not into the next.
Right.
Oh, they can't hear me. Now
she's...
Oh, you're good.
That's
you, no.
All right. That's
no, but it's live in the here and the now, and you to a certain extent you've got to, but at the same time, you know, it's my job basically is to bring
people
meaning out of this. You know, what is this all about? What's happening here?
And so that's what I especially like. When you speak on this, I know people, you know, even like, and I hate to, I'm going to bring it back to just your illness and things like that. There's so much insight when we walk together with this, you know, and it's like, I think that's the most important thing, being head of a flock, being head of a parish. And, you know, it, to me, it's never always talking about himself again. I always glean what you're trying to say. And if you look at this, this is how it used to be. We walked together. A parish, you know, was part of the wherever the neighborhood was, and people knew each other. You yourself, I've known people since they were little babies. They've gotten married. They've died. I mean, this is what it's really all about. And I think that's the one thing that people are losing. I think we're losing this as a people. It's disappearing, whether it's people moving to other places or, you know, technology. We are losing this.
But then we lose reality. See, we're no longer living in
the beginning
reality, and it's going to catch us off guard. It's going to hit us very hard.
And it usually does at that end. And when you talk about rock bottom, when we hit rock bottom, I mean, where is the support there? Some people don't know where to turn, or you know, the people that say, "Oh, you know, where God help me now?" But where were you?
Sure.
Before.
So I was dealing. So even before that, I was dealing with a young man who was, and I've talked to him before. And he's a great guy, good father, young father. He's got two or three children, and he was diagnosed with cancer, and he was in remission. Although they don't really call it that anymore, I don't think. I don't hear that word remission. But so we've been. You know, we've exchanged. We've had conversations, you know, because it's all of a sudden, okay, I understand, you know, I know. So the point is that he had his periodic exam, you know, a CT scan or whatever, and they found some suspicious things, and so they had to do a biopsy, and so I got the message from him that, in fact, he was diagnosed again, that the cancer is active, and now he has to go into a more aggressive chemotherapy, and one that means he's going to, every time he does it, he's going to be hospitalized for 3 days. And so what do you say, you know? And I want to be honest. First of all, I think there's reason for hope, because there's so much advancement, so much progress in the industry, health industry of cancer. And then, of course, also there's, you know, the things we need to do, you know, eat right and try to keep balance in life, try to avoid stress and all that. You know, we got to help the process along. But it's trying to tap into that suffering. That's the thing that I don't want to, I'm not one to say, and that's why, you know, when I come on the radio, I talk about these things, because this is reality. Mm-hmm. As you said, you know, I deal with this a lot.
Right.
And and many people do, you know, certain, I think of what police officers go through, what people in hospitals, by the way, Karen is going to become a nurse in September. I saw her yesterday. I haven't seen her. I always wanted to call her Sal Cesar, but what is Karen's last name?
Salas Blancas?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen her.
She's so happy, you know. I was just so happy for her. And I told her, my gosh, you know, that's such a beautiful ministry. Mm-hmm. So she's finally graduating. She'll become a nurse in September. And we've known her for a long time as well. I hadn't seen her in a long time as well, but she comes a lot to the sanctuary to pray. And it's so beautiful, because she was before the Blessed Virgin of Guadalupe, and she said, you know, Our Lady has been such a help to her, and how the sanctuary has been such a grace for her, for her as well. And I'm very happy, but there's this beautiful ministry there, but she's going to deal with, as all nurses and doctors, and, you know, they have to deal with people in these situations of sickness. And like I told the gentleman today, who's just this is a great guy, and I said, you know, if it's you and me today, it'll be somebody else tomorrow, you know, and that's the reality, right? And just as, you know, I'm celebrating this sacred farewell, we use the word celebrating, but, you know, at the Mass for Juana, you know, we're all going to be there eventually, you know. And, you know, again, having been in a parish so long and seen all these people that I remember, you know, I remember when they were children, mm-hmm. and it's just how did we get here? You know, how fast these 28 years have just flown by. It seems like only yesterday. People that I'm seeing now that are 37 years old, and when I came here, they were 10 years old, or what, nine years mm-hmm. old. And so I still remember them, and I'm looking at them, and I just like when I look at Christine, I still see somebody in high school, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I look at you, although you weren't an adult when I saw you, mm-hmm. when I first met you, Tony, but...
Just look like an older adult.
Well, no, not at all. You know, I can, I don't, you yeah. know, it's like we, I don't, I see myself as 30 right. years old. I mean, reality check, when mm-hmm. I look in the mirror, then it's like, that's why I don't like pictures, and I don't want people to take pictures or show me pictures, because that's right. it's a reality check, right?
Yeah,
I feel inside like I'm 30 years old, and so I. In fact, I asked one of the women. This is a woman, but to me, she's a girl.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of her 9 years old, and right. I said, "How old are you?" And she said, "I can't." She said, "I can't tell you how old I am." I said, "You know," and I said, "It was rude for me to ask, perhaps, but I thought, you know, I'm a priest. You can tell me anything, you know." But I said, "But her friend, who I also knew, you know." Remembered him. I can see his face as a boy of 9 years old. He said, and I know he was 9 at the same time that she was, because he said, "Oh, I'll tell you." He says, "I'm not afraid to tell you my age." He says, "I'm 37," and she and I are classmates. We were classmates. We were the same age.
Now you just told me her
exactly. But it's this. The reality is, we are on the way. We are in the journey. We are on pilgrimage. We're not going to be here forever. And the lifelong journey is peaks and valleys, and the good and the bad, and the happy, the sad, life and death. And but, you know, the cross ever before us, but we see beyond the cross into the glory, the light of the resurrection. And so, you know, that's why I say it's hard to understand how people don't think about
yeah.
these things, or we have a way perhaps of putting it out of our mind. We have to, okay, we're going to get through this right now, but then we put it out of our mind. But as the saints have said, I want to talk today is the feast of Saint of Elizabeth, Edith Stein, Saint Teresa Benedict of the Cross, who was one of my favorite saints, actually, you know. Jerry, God rest her soul, Jerry Spatz, who was on the radio with us, that she was had a strong devotion to Edith Stein. She was reading her book in the last couple of years of her life, Jerry's life. Mm-hmm. But this was a woman who was Jewish, very devout Jewish family, but by the time she was a teenager, she was an atheist, and then she underwent this powerful conversion to Catholicism, to Christianity, and died in the concentration camp. And I forgot what year, I've got the year here, but I was going to say, as the saints have said, you know, you keep death before you, and you live a holy life, or you'll keep things in perspective. Now, I suppose that people who don't believe in God, their philosophy of life is very different. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. You're here today, you may be gone tomorrow, so just make the best of it. Mm-hmm. Well, you can. Our philosophy is just contrary to that, right? Because it is our call is to live in a sacrificial way, to be responsible, not to live for oneself, but to live for others, because we have to carry each other through. We got to get each other through. Just as we're processing down the aisle at the end of the, or processing in for the Mass, I go out, I meet those who don't know, who perhaps haven't been to a Catholic funeral, and there's nothing so beautiful as a Catholic funeral, don't you think? Because Christina, you sing at a lot of those funerals, and you've been to a lot of them, too, because we've been here a long time. And Tony, you've been to a lot of them, too, you know? But there's something very beautiful about the ritual. It's the Mass is a Mass, but the prayers and just the sacrament of the Mass and the sacred farewell, and so we process in, the family comes, we lead the coffin to the front, the coffin is placed before the Paschal candle, just as a child was brought to baptism before the candle as an infant, and now, but often carried in the arms of their parents and godparents, and now here, you know, we're basically their own, like this woman's children, her husband, were receiving her, carrying her. And so we come in and then we process out. But this idea of procession, the pilgrimage, you know, and so it is in life. And so if we look at it from that perspective, we're on this journey and we've got to carry each other through, right? We got to take care of each other on the way. And that means that if I just live for myself, then I've got to get you out of the way, right? Isn't that the case?
That's it.
You know? If we just all live for ourselves, and we end up swimming in a sea of egos, I've said that many times, and we drown each other in the process. But when we understand that we've come from God and we're going to God, and we freely choose each day to live in God, to live this faith, to be responsible, to fulfill our obligation, then, you know, it's our philosophy is not eat, drink, and be merry. Today you're here, tomorrow you're gone. But it's a sacrificial love. Let me obey the commandments of God. Let me take care of my brother. Take care of my sister, my neighbor, and my enemy, and we got to give witness, set an example. That's our philosophy of life, and I think the world would be much better off if we all were to live that philosophy, that faith. So anyway, just otherwise life is empty to me. To me, it would be empty. As I might complain, as much as I might say, just get me through this day. You know, help me to just get, and see, even in the work of life, that's why God gave us, I've talked about this many times here, but he gives us the Sabbath, you know. He wants to ensure that in the work of life that there is rest and that there is festivity, celebration. Nick, I'm sorry, we'll take a break now, okay? So let's take a break. We'll be right back, and don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. Is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Nick is doing his work.
It's kind of cool he can be anywhere and still
exactly,
do
yeah,
what has to
yeah.
be done.
Just technical problems.
There you go.
You
hear.
Sound good now.
Again, the miracle worker. So we're talking about, you know, life, but today's the feast of Edith Stein, mm-hmm. and I've got some number of quotes here from her, and hers is a fascinating life, but she, as I said, she was a Jewish woman who was raised in a very devout Jewish family, a big family, in Poland, but in Poland that was under under Germany at the time, and she, you know, what's interesting is she was, her mother made it a point that she would be educated well, and she became a very prominent philosopher, and studied under great philosophers, studied with, or I think she team taught mm-hmm. with a great philosopher, phenomenologist.
No, that's a mouthful.
But in any case, she became an atheist in her teenage years, and but in the study of philosophy, she had a gradual conversion. But what really inspired her was that she. And by the way, if you're a philosopher, you're a thinker. Yeah. And I guess it goes back to the question, you know, are we not thinking today? Are we not using, you know, our reason, our capacity to reason? You know, this is maybe part of the problem in the society today. And maybe that's why, you know, if we're just inundated with noise and we're full of distraction, you know, then maybe we just, we're flying on that and not having to deal with the harder questions of life, you know, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, the reality of life. But in any case, she, as a philosopher, she had obviously that mind that was kind of probing the mysteries of life or the meaning of life, that she would be a philosopher. But she, what really inspired her is that she would, on her way to the university, she would stop into a Catholic church. In other words, she, to think about it, in that day and that time, I always think of St. Bruno as well, who had to get away from Paris, you know, in order to find solitude. You know, I'm thinking if they were to live today, you know, when you think about the need for solitude or the lack of solitude the lack of space, the lack of silence to think, to ponder, to wrestle with the mystery of life, the stuff of life, to question, to try to answer the questions. If those questions aren't there, then we're not going to, you know, seek the answer. It goes back to the gospel where the people chose darkness. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. Maybe we don't want to face ourselves, you know, our own demons. We have to learn to wrestle with our own demons. But anyway, she found refuge in a Catholic church because she found that there was this silence and there was a presence, and she felt somehow protected. Didn't know why. She just knew that this was a place where she found something quite unique. She could have gone to a park. She could have gone to the... she could have found some quiet place anywhere. And we can indeed do that, but there was something unique, something distinct about the Catholic Church. And she writes about that, that it was really there that that she found God, that as she was probing the mysteries of life, God was probing her heart, her soul. And so she became a Catholic. What's interesting is I was reading that as a student, she did her thesis on empathy. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Empathy. And she was an atheist at the time, but she did her thesis on empathy. And so my suspicion is that in Christianity, in the Catholic Church, she discovered that God, who she didn't believe existed, but perhaps meditating or contemplating the mystery of the cross, because if she went into a Catholic church, she would have had to see the crucifix. And of course, this presence that she didn't know what it was, but it was obviously the Blessed Sacrament, because there is a presence that emanates the fragrance of holiness, that there she discovered the uniqueness and how distinct the God of really Judeo-Christianity, but as God is fully revealed in Jesus Christ out of Judaism into that messianic moment, that God revealed himself as a God of compassion, a God of empathy, a God who didn't spare himself any suffering, who didn't sin but made himself sin because he took sin to himself. And that brings me back to the young man that I was communicating with this morning. It was via, not by way of telephone, but it was an email message. But I was trying to respond to his this new prognosis or diagnosis and what it's going to mean for him. And, you know, it means he's got to get back into the battle, so to speak, and it's going to be more aggressive than it was before. But what can you do? We're not here to deceive anyone. We're not here to run from reality. Jesus didn't certainly deceive anyone. The night before he died, he says, it's going to be hard. You're not going to have it easy. He says, it is a difficult path. It's a narrow path. Few can stay on it. But know that I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you, or it's better that I leave, that I remain with you. And he's with us through the sacraments and through the Word of God. So, you know, in speaking to this man, I'm trying to convey to him, you know, that this, our God allows for this suffering. It's the reality of life, but we're not alone in it. You know, we have each other. We have, this is why, you know, it's important we come close to our own suffering, because that brings us to compassion, right? To suffer with others. If you're going through something really difficult, you seek out somebody who understands, you know, who understands, somebody who has compassion. And so this is how God has revealed himself. So the fact that Edith Stein did her thesis on empathy, I'm I suspect that this is how God was working through her soul. And as she discovered, you know, or rediscovered or put aside her atheism in the discovery of God, who perhaps had she discovered that God had discovered her, or that God knew her, and that this God was an empathetic God, a God who condescends, who took on our flesh, who suffered in the flesh, who, as I said, he didn't sin, but he was made sin because he took our sins to himself, and leaves us the image of the cross, the crucifixion. I was just in retreat. I was in retreat last week, and one of the guys, and I understood, you know, because I've heard this over and over. It says, you know, we have to put the risen Christ in the church, you know, because Jesus is not dead on the cross, but he's risen from the dead. And I spoke up there too, and I says, you know, as I've said to many people, I said that's so true, but God is a compassionate God. God is an empathetic God, and we need the crucifix because we're suffering. We're suffering. Or if I'm not suffering, somebody's suffering. And it goes back to this kind of intuitive sense, or let's say, you know, that we feel the sufferings of others. That's why, you know, a lot of people today, they just can't take the news anymore because there's just so much bad news. Yeah. And I know I do that too. I find myself more and more the need to detach from the news. I can only take in so much. And aside from the, you know, the deception and the fake news, as you know, as so often we hear, you know, it's so true. It's true, though. There's a lot of fake news. There's a lot of embellishment. There's a lot of yellow journalism, you know, falsehood that's being spewed for political purpose or for whatever, you know, whatever the agenda may be. But even apart from that, you know, you get tired of the deception. You get tired of the lies. You get tired of the fakeness and the falsehoods. But it's also the very sad stories of people who do harm to other people, and there's a lot of that. And there's sometimes I can't see this. There's something that comes to my mind immediately. I don't even want to say it because if I say it, I don't want to cause you any pain. But I was reading during the World Cup, you know, how this young woman died in the celebration afterwards.
Really?
I'm not going to even say it because it's so, you know, I there's certain things you have to block out of your head because you can feel the pain.
Right.
I can feel it. What happened to her was an accident. But when I read that, I couldn't get it out of my head. And every so often, just now, it just popped into my head again. That's why I don't want to repeat it because it was too gross.
Too graphic.
Yeah, too painful. You could just feel it. Anyway. But so there's so much of that. You say, I can't read that. I can't delve into that because it's too real
even
to me.
Even like the local news here, over the weekend, I don't know how many deaths there were.
Oh, jeez.
I stopped watching the news.
Yeah, it's probably
a long
good thing.
Time ago because it's all you hear. I'm aware of what's happening. Right. I don't need to hear, and it's repeating the same. It's the same stuff over and over. Negative. I'm dealing with my own demons. I don't need to have more stress.
Exactly.
I think that's how the news is evolving now. I think it's going to come to a point where we don't want to see it anymore. It seems that you got to have something to say. You know, so you take the little thing and you exaggerate it and you make a story out of it. And sometimes people are at the point where it's, I can't look at it anymore.
No.
Yeah, so at different levels, right? Because on one hand, it's the fake news, it's the false stuff,
right.
It's the embellishments, it's the yellow journalism. On the other hand, it's the tragedies, real tragedies that are happening in the lives of people. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's also the superficial. Mm-hmm. I absolutely despise, I loathe Hollywood. Loathe not the individuals, but I loathe that kind of superficial, the false gods of our day. Yeah, I don't give me any other news about the Prince of Wales or whatever, you know, whoever it was, him, Prince Harry. Is it Prince of Wales? Is that what they call him, Prince of Wales?
Who knows?
Yeah, whatever.
No.
But you know.
The newlywed couple.
Yeah, that the stuff of the soap opera and all that kind of stuff. You know,
whole kind of life is like a soap opera, to be honest.
It's not real. How many people, are living that kind of life. Oh, what she wore here. Who cares?
Well, people do, Christina. People vicariously.
Exactly.
This is the problem. People vicariously live through these people.
I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
I was thinking not even here. I'm thinking of other countries where there's poverty, where they're
sure, exactly.
I wasn't even thinking of here. I'm done. Yeah. Pretty much done.
But
with
that's
that.
Something when you do see other countries, you kind of, it makes what's happening here even just.
That's where I'm at.
When you see real poverty and you see
I deal with that on a daily basis. I'm in communication with these people in other countries where they're trying to survive. That's where I'm at.
Right.
This other stuff, it's not even, it's pathetic.
Well, it goes back to what Fulton Sheen said the other day. Yeah. It's, you know, the civilization dies from within. Nations, empires die from within.
Mm-hmm. You talk about people thinking, I wonder if people are really comprehending that's exactly what's happening. And again, 10 years ago, I would have never seen that. But when you start paying attention, you start opening your eyes, opening your ears.
Yeah, because it goes back to what the gospel says. You know, it's so right. You know, Jesus said, you know, John's gospel opens that, you know, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God so loved the world that he sent his only beloved Son, his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. The light came into the dark, but the people chose the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. And this is what's happened to Western civilization. We choose the darkness. We don't even know it's a darkness.
It is scary that most people do that, I think. And it's how do you, and that's what sometimes my, I don't know, frustration is, how do you reach out to those people? You know, you don't want to say that they will forever not take the hand of Jesus. You want to not think that, but
it goes back to, you know, the funeral.
Yeah.
You know, until we're confronted with the reality. But see, here too, in the society, in the Western, you know, even I saw pictures of this the other day. Do you know there are funeral homes that take the bodies and they display them? Like, for instance, there was a picture of a guy on a motorcycle. There was a woman sitting at a table with a martini in her hand. And they're dead. They're the deceased.
Right.
But they present them like that. So there's a whole denial of the reality. Or, you know, this, again, a falsehood that death comes. And if you believe that life goes on, it's going to be a perpetuation of that eat, drink, and be merry kind of a mentality. And it's not true, because the fact is, for good or for bad, you know, unto eternity, for good or for bad, God gives us, I mean, the Lord is so merciful. And I think we, you know, see, people don't have the courage to face reality. They don't have that kind of humility or courage, because it's, again, you have to wrestle with the demons. We've got to, and when I say that, to deal with the reality, religious reality, certainly the reality of the cross, the Paschal mystery, is to all of a sudden understand that I've got to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I have to fulfill certain obligations. I have to take care of my brother, my sister, not in the superficial way that Hollywood does. They get on their high horse and they're sanctimonious and they're, you know, they're going to condescend and pretend that they're. I mean, if there are those who do, God bless them. I don't want to, you know, but you get the point that I'm making, you know.
You have to get into the work of it. Get your hands dirty. You know, it's
right under the roof of your own home, right here and right now. This is where it starts.
It has to start,
you know?
Here. People always think, oh, I can't. How do I change that? No, it starts with you. It starts with your thoughts. It starts with your understanding of things. And
yeah, so we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Come back to Edith Stein, perhaps. We never know some of her words. But really, that her thesis was on empathy. And as an atheist, she discovered God in a unique way in the Catholic Church, in the silence of sanctuary, there having to meditate, reflect, or contemplate the crucifixion, but also that presence that is there emanating from the hiddenness of God in the Holy Eucharist and the Blessed Sacrament. All this was working on her soul and brought her to the faith and eventually brought her to the Carmelites to go hidden, in a sense, to nurture that intimacy with God, and also as a preparation for her very tragic martyrdom, which was, you know, to the gas chambers, because she was a Jewish, and because the bishops in Holland spoke out against the Nazis, and as a result, as a punishment, then the Jews of Holland were taken, deported, and immediately sent to the concentration camp. She died on this day. She and her sister, who also converted and was an extern nun, but it's just but empathy, you know, that God suffers with. But we have to be willing then to suffer with each other, not run from, but enter into. Pick up the cross and follow me, as Jesus said. This is the reality of life. But it doesn't end in death. It doesn't end in darkness. And it's precisely knowing that there's this light, this peace, this joy that comes only from God, that's what gives us the means, the courage, the strength, really, to bear the cross and to bear each other from one day to the next. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation. Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest, Saturday, August 25th, from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 11th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $15,000 in total prizes, a beer tent, animal shows, juggling, wine art, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 10th at 5 p.m. with music by Echo and Duransom. Next at 7:30, enjoy longtime Chicagoland favorites M&R Rush. Saturday, August 11th, is Family Day, starting at noon with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and much, much more. The music kicks off with Common Allies at 4:30. Next, at 7:30, enjoy the Hat Guys.
Sunday, August 12th, is Polka Day. Starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 14 and up. $3 cover for those 3 through 13. $5 for on-premises parking each day, or free shuttle from the remote lot.
For early registration discount for the Wine Art Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So today's a feast of Edith Stein, Sister Teresa Benedict of the Cross. And this is what she wrote in the 1930s. This was after her conversion to the church, to the faith, to Christ. Again, she was a Jewish woman born into a very observant, very devout Jewish family. Her father died young, when she was young. And by the time she was a teenager, she was an atheist. But she had a probing mind and was trying to figure out the meaning, the purpose of life. And it was her visits to the Catholic Church that she discovered or found how her hunger for whatever, but that there's a hunger, there was a thirst, and that hunger would be satisfied, that thirst would be satiated only by God, who revealed himself as an empathetic, compassionate God who redeems, sets free. How providential, because it was her destiny that she would suffer her death or celebrate her birthday into heaven, however you want to look at it. It's the full Paschal mystery in the concentration camp. It really wasn't even, it was in the concentration camp, but she really didn't spend time in the concentration camp, because when she got there, she was put immediately into the gas chamber. But in 1930, as the Nazis, this is before the war, but as Nazism was on the move, taking hold of the society, she implored Pope Pius XI to denounce the Nazi regime, to put a stop to this abuse in the name of Christ. And she says, as a child of the Jewish people, by the grace of God, for the past 11 years has also been a child of the Catholic Church, I dare to speak to the Father of Christianity about that which oppresses millions of Jews, or Germans rather. For weeks we have seen deeds perpetrated in Germany which mock any sense of justice and humanity, not to mention love of neighbor. For years, the leaders of National Socialism have been preaching hatred of the Jews, but the responsibility must fall, after all, on those who brought them to this point, and it also falls on those who keep silent in the face of such happenings. Everything that happened and continues to happen on a daily basis originates with a government that calls itself Christian. For weeks, not only Jews, but also thousands of faithful Catholics in Germany, and I believe all over the world, have been waiting and hoping for the Church of Christ to raise its voice to put a stop to this abuse. It's not this idolization of race and governmental power which is being pounded into the public consciousness by the radio open heresy. Isn't the effort to destroy Jewish blood an abuse of the holiest humanity of our Savior, of the Most Blessed Virgin, and the apostles? They were all Jewish. Is not all this diametrically opposed to the conduct of our Lord and Savior, who even on the cross still prayed for his persecutors? And isn't this a black mark on the record of this holy year, which was intended to be a year of peace and reconciliation? We all, who are faithful children of the church and who see the conditions of Germany with open eyes, fear the worst for the prestige of the church if the silence continues any longer. And so I don't know, we don't know how the Pope responded to her, but we do know that, as I said, that as the church did, well, he did. He actually, maybe not in a direct way, but he did issue, if I can find it here, an edict. He condemned anti-Semitism in 1933. He listed the violations of a concordat between Germany and the church, or that of 1933. So it was in 1937 that he issued the encyclical with burning anxiety, where he condemns Nazism, condemns anti-Semitism. The very precarious position the church was in, as happened in Holland, as I said, when the church in Holland, the bishops spoke out against Nazism, it was the very thing that caused the confiscation of the Jewish people and the deportation for immediate death to Auschwitz. And she was taken with him because though she had converted to Catholicism, she was Jewish. So she and her sister both were taken from the convent where she was a Carmelite nun. It's just, this is the insidiousness of it all, right? The evil that is ever present in the world. But she, if I can find, we're almost at the end of the hour, but she said, she wrote, this was later, you know, she kind of, it's almost as if she had this sense that her life would end in such a way. And she said, I beg the Lord to take my life and my death for all concerns of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary and Holy Church, especially for the preservation of our Holy Order, the Carmelite monasteries of Cologne and Echt, as atonement for the unbelief of the Jewish people, and that the Lord will be received by his own people and his kingdom shall come in glory for the salvation of Germany and the peace of the world. At last, for my loved ones, living or dead, for all and for all God gave to me, that none of them shall go astray. Today, that would, the fact that she prayed for the conversion of her own people, well, naturally, because she, and not only her, but all those who had gone astray, mm-hmm. and for our own personal conversion. The fact is, once we know Christ, once we understand that he is a Redeemer, he is the Messiah, he is the Savior, and we know that genuine peace and joy, they can only come from God, can give us or brings us the ability to deal with reality, to face the reality of life. Otherwise, we're going to run here, there, or wherever. You know, does that make sense? I mean, that's, but these are the sense that, well, we're out of time. Thank God, because I'm not exactly sure where I was going to go with that. But we can't lose our sensitivity, our sensibility, our sensitivity to things sacred, to God. We have to have the courage to, as he says, you got to take your place on that path, carry the cross, I'm with you, but see beyond the cross into the glory, the light of the resurrection. I make all things new. Anyway, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.